Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host today. And it's a privilege and a pleasure to be here once again. This is our fifth broadcast. And today is March 4th, 2015, and I want to thank Dale and Jane and Kathy for having me back. And, you know, we have a great show for you planned. We have two callers who will be with us as our guest today, Kevin Williams and also Terrence Cradle. And these gentlemen are in our inmate reentry program, or the WINGS program, which stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth, and Success. And I just want to, you know, welcome you back once again to our show as our listeners. Before we begin, I want to just make a brief announcement. Due to the weather forecast for tonight, the Central Association of the Miraculous Metal Centennial Speaker Series event has been rescheduled. Please join us Tuesday, March 10th at 7 p.m. to hear the inspirational words of our first speaker, Dr. Monique Rubaru, MD, a pro-life OBGYN, who will share her moving conversion story and her passion for the pro-life cause. This event will be held in the Art Museum in the Miraculous Metal building across the street from the shrine. Free will donations are accepted. Call 215-848-1010. That's 215-848-1010. Or visit miraculousmetal.org for more information. So we just wanted to get that out there because the weather is a little bit hazardous today. And so we appreciate your understanding. And again, welcome back to Finding God in Prison. Kevin Williams will be calling in shortly to join us. And before he does, I want to just take a moment to give you an update on some of the work we've done in the last 30 days since our last broadcast. And we've been very busy in the WINGS program with a segment of the program called the WINGS Men Program over in Falls Township in Bucks County, where our speakers, who are men in the reentry program, who have cultivated and perfected their talks, are giving one-hour talks over in Pensbury High School, East and West, and the Valley Day School, and the Center for Student Learning. Here, the focus is on decision-making and to help students make great decisions, to make every decision count. So we've had several men join us in the WINGS Men program. I just want to take a moment to thank Jeff Collins, Jason Martino, and Jacoby McFadden for their excellent talks in Falls Township. Also want to thank Officer John Yeager and Lieutenant Whitney and Corporal Wolverine at the Falls Township Police Department for their support as our escorts and really helping us to, work with them in this community policing program. And the WINGS program is really a nice complement to the great stuff they're already doing. And I want to thank our men once again. One of the early results we actually received was a call from the principal over at Pensbury High School telling us that after Jeff Collins' talk and a little bit of counsel time from myself and Jeff, one of their students made a decision several days later to not drop out of high school and to remain in high school. And so, you know, that was just a beautiful thing. I received a text only a couple days later. And this young girl at 15 years old was contemplating and really had made a decision to drop out due to some of the family situations or circumstances she had in her home. And so, you know, there's great fruit already coming from some of the talks that the men have been doing in the schools. And, you know, it's just been a blessing to work with them. It doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And that's really important in our program. And here the men are, you know, working on their lives, working on their relationship with God and their manhood or their captainship, They're working on their family life and their family relationships, as well as finding work in 3 to 30 days. But they're also involved in community service and giving back to the community, both in the schools and also in the prisons, as well as here on the radio this morning. So, you know, we do have some great things planned for you today. And I believe Kevin Williams is on the air with us right now. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here, Joe.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. God bless you, and thank you for calling in today. We appreciate it, and I hope you're ready to go, because we're ready for you.
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. I know Kevin has just been generous enough to give us some of his time this morning. And Kevin, I want you to take us back to the early days once again, and give us a little thumbnail sketch of what it was like growing up for you, and take us really up to your life today, and then where you're going into the future, where you see yourself going.
All right, Joe. I'll start this story in North New Jersey. Grew up in a loving family, a beautiful extended family, a nice neighborhood, a nurturing environment. Back in them days, a village really raised a family. You couldn't do anything on that street that Miss Jones would tell your mother or father by the time they got home. So what happened was, I was a rambunctious child, so my mother decided when I was 5 that she was going to take me to Little League to expel some of that energy that I had in the house. So I started playing organized sports when I was 5 and getting ready to be 6. And I continued playing sports up until high school. And I put all my being into it, and I excelled. I got better and better. I got offered a scholarship for football and basketball when I chose to take a basketball scholarship. I ended up at Old Dominion, and I thought that I was going to the next level, and I blew my knee out, and I became depressed. I didn't know I was depressed at the time, and eventually I wasn't immersed in the educational side of college. I was just playing sports. I put my everything into that. And, when I couldn't play no more, I got put on academic probation. And I still, they aided me with tutors and everything. And, I just didn't want to be there anymore. And, I end up let go from school. Of course, I couldn't keep up with the grades at that time. It was a thing called Proposition 48, which held athletes accountable for the grade, and they had to maintain a certain GPA. And I didn't adhere to those principles, so I left. Ended up going back to Jersey, and I got a job working at, on the ports in New York, New Jersey with my grandfather, a crane operator. I did that. I did good at that. But I just wasn't ready for it. At times, a lot of responsibility. So I ended up leaving there. And it just so happens that one of my childhood mentors said, "Listen, I'm working in Manhattan. I'll get you a job." Long story short, end up working at Merrill Lynch on Wall Street as a stock broker trainee, and I did that. I excelled at that. I was pretty good at that. It was like 80 some people. It was 5 of us. They got fast track up and through the floor. And I was basically doing trades on the floor. And but I got caught up in the lifestyle of the Wall Street environment, and which is the guys make a lot of money, they work hard, and it's a lot of alcoholism and drug abuse. And I end up going back and forth, copping for the brokers, and end up one day getting pulled over in my car, and I had a lot of stuff on me, and I went to Rikers Island. Make a long story short, because of that, I couldn't get my license to be a broker with the Series 6 license, and I couldn't do that. So, again, I was sent back to the streets, dejected, and I said, what am I going to do? So I started incorporating myself into the in my environment, and I started hustling. I started first just looking out, and then eventually end up running the block and things like that. And you know, that was took me down the wrong thing. I acquired a lot of stuff, materially wise, but I was empty inside, and I end up doing that. I end up. I had a nice apartment, I had a penthouse apartment overlooking Manhattan, the skyline of Manhattan, and I just look out the window and saying, is this what it is? Is this all that life has to offer? Because I was empty inside. And, eventually, that dissipated because I ended up going to prison, and that started my process of going in and out of prison. My first prison, I studied, I did all the things, I thought I was changed. I came out, I went to school at the, when I came home, I went to school at the University of Medicine and Dentistry in New Jersey for physical therapy, and I was doing good in that. I end up, because I was in my third year, and because I had a conviction, I couldn't get my license, so that was another rejection that definitely sent me into a tailspin. And so I said, what the heck, I might as well just keep hustling. So I ended up going back and forth, doing that, jails, in and out the street. Then I started using, and that was a lifestyle. I end up from all this material stuff to eventually it got so bad that I was homeless, and my family had gave up on me because nobody in my family had gets high. Nobody understood addiction at the time. You know, my mother, my wife, she said, "Why can't you just stop?" They didn't understand the nature of addiction and how it entails your whole being and body, and it takes you into being a person that you're not normally. So I ended up coming down here. Me and my wife divorced. That's how I ended up in Philadelphia. My sister was down here. She was like, listen, why don't you come down here and, you know, get yourself together down here. And that's what I did. I ended up in Philadelphia. Basically, no direction as far as I didn't know what the next step was going to be. I had acquired a lot of stuff, but just for some reason, it wasn't enough. And I ended up bringing myself with me to Philadelphia, and all my behaviors and my old thoughts, my old actions, and I eventually started doing what I did up there down here. So that's how I ended up going back to jail. But something happened to me this time in jail. I had an encounter with God, and changed my life. And since then, I've been walking with the Lord. He's been leading me, guiding me, protecting me. had opportunity to meet you, you know, and you helped change me and redirected me and stopped some of my old ways of thinking, because it's just like, Joe, it's just like a computer, man, and the computer technology term is sky go, garbage in, garbage out. I was fed a lot of erroneous and not realistic information that I interpreted in my lifestyle would be true, but it wasn't true. And that stuff that I was living and thinking, only thing, the only place that that can transition into working is on the street. It doesn't relate or correlate to anything in reality or in the world or in the process of living a productive life.
Right.
And I had to, it wasn't long before I started transitioning my mind, believing in God, asking him to change me, to let me be the man that he wants me to be. And he's been working in my life, and I'm grateful to this day. I'm enrolled, I'm back in school, trying to be a counselor, trying to give back, be a part of, you know, an environment of reaching the community and, you know, just trying to give back, which was so freely given to me, which, you know, I look back on my life and I just think about all the people and the mentors and the coaches and the teachers, man, that just went out of their way to help me. And I just want to do the same thing for somebody else. It's just a whole new transition. I've learned from working with you, Joe. You're my mentor. You're my friend. And I'm thankful for that. I've learned the things in the WINGS program that definitely prepares me for my future. I learned how to be more productive in a 168. Learn how to structure my time so I can get the most out of each day. There's me and you sat down and went over my schedule hour by hour, and we found certain pockets of time that I can do certain things in, and I never seen that before. And I'm just, you know, thankful for you, to you, thankful for this program. I'm a part of the WINGS Men, and I'm proud to be a part of the WINGS Men. We're going to schools, talk to high school students, let them know about choices and about making the right choices and trying to direct your life for the Lord. Try to direct your life in a way where you don't have to do the same mistakes that I made.
Right.
You don't have to live a life on a treadmill of just moving and not going nowhere. You can be productive. You can be what you want to be. Like you always say, it's not where you've been, it's where you're going. And I believe that. My life is totally different. The man I used to be is dead. You know what I mean? He gave life, gave way so I could live, so I can move on. And I'm glad to be a whole new creation. The Bible talked about, behold, all things are new. And I believe that.
Let me
jump for everything you've done for me, Joe.
You're welcome, Kev. You're welcome. Let me just thank you for calling in today and sharing that story with us, because it's powerful. It's your life. And, you know, how old are you, Kevin?
I'm 54.
54. And how much time have you served in jail?
I've served 16 years.
16 years. And how about from an addiction standpoint, how many years of addiction did you, you know, do you credit yourself with?
Well, I've been addicted, I would say, I started late, so I would say about 25 years, 27 years.
Okay. And we met at the House of Adonai Recovery Home down in 5031 Frankfort, where we present the 90-minute program each and every Tuesday morning from 10:30 to 12. And thanks to Bob Beck and the House of Adonai, we had the opportunity to meet. We've been there 5 years now, and you know, Kevin, for our listeners, Kevin, you know, engaged in the program and spent many days with us there at the House of Adonai, but then took it upon himself to join us at Drexel University down in at 245 North 15th Street, 15th and Vine Street at the College of Medicine, where we have our Saturday morning classes from 9 to 11:50. And so there we proceeded, Kev, to make a really a plan of action to find balance in your life between recovery and also education and then work. And that's really where you are today. He's enrolled in the Community College of Philadelphia for the Behavioral Health Counselor degree and certification. And that's his desire, is to give back, excuse me, and to help other people to avoid both addiction and incarceration. Is that correct?
That's correct, Joe.
Yeah, and actually, to his credit, he's actually had to turn down some full-time jobs because it didn't fit into the plan, which is really to become a behavior health counselor. And so, you know, as you re-enter, we have to stay with the plan. And, you know, there's transitional work and long-term employment. And Kevin is moving towards that long-term employment. So although he needs part-time work, we've had to make some adjustments because the overall plan is to come out of recovery and then to work full time, have your own place once again, and so that's, you know, you're on your way and you're doing well. Tell me about your grades in school. How are you doing?
Joe, that's another thing. You know, you encouraged me. You know, other people encouraged me. My counselors at the Wed Tyrone. You know, and people like that, Brian, and they gave me an example of what I can be, and they came from the same background as me. So they encouraged me that I could be, do this, and do it successfully. And they put a model for me. And as far as school goes, it's funny, I registered late, and I had to go into a class, which is called a 241 level classes, which is really a fourth semester class. You're supposed to have a certain type of prerequisites and courses before you get to that, but I end up in it, and I'm doing fantastic. I'm getting nothing but A's. Like you were telling me, like other people were telling me, my life experience transcends a lot of book now. So a lot of these people in my classes, although they work in the field, and though they read it in the book, I've lived it. And I transitioned my experiences into book now. So what I'm doing in school is getting the technical knowledge to go along with street knowledge and the experience knowledge that I have, and I'm trying to put them all together. But I'm doing fantastic in school. Since I've been in school, between the three classes that I'm taking, I've never gotten under A in anything.
Now that's terrific. That's really great, and I know you're going to do it. You know, it's wonderful to just see you engaged in those college-level classes and moving forward because you have a genuine desire to go in that direction. And now it's already March 4th, and we were talking about this over Thanksgiving and moving in this direction and some of the challenges you had, you know, in looking at a plan of action and balancing out the requirements in the recovery home as well as, you know, financial issues is in addition to finding work. And so ultimately, you know, God has worked things out for you and you're moving forward and you're on target, if I'm not mistaken, to actually finish up the certification in December. Is that correct?
That's correct, Joe. If I stick to God's plan and God's will in my life, I can be graduated in December.
And that's wonderful. Tell me, let's spiritually, what is God giving you daily that allows you to continue on that path? What is he giving you? Tell me, Kev.
What is the Lord giving me?
Yes.
Well, what he's done is Romans 2, and talks about being not to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I love that verse because it speaks to my whole being as far as the person I used to be. And how I used to think, how I used to look at things, and, how I look at things now, being a whole new creation, being a whole new person. Stuff that used to bother me before, Joe, doesn't bother me. Gave me one of the things that I thank him for, that he gave me before I even begun this journey, was he gave me an innate drive and an ability to achieve certain things. And I just achieved them in living in the world. I just achieved them in a lot of negative ways. So I take that drive that he put in me to be motivated to be able to translate that motivation into different things. I take that strength that is a God-given strength, and I try to use it now in my life for the good. And he also gives me people like you to mentor me, to witness to me, to guide me, to help me along my way. I got a whole community of people down at the college that are there for me. And it's funny, Joe, because I'm around a whole lot of people who care about me and want the best for me, and they don't want nothing back. and that humbles me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I just want to I ask you that question because, you know, God has given me tremendous blessings to do the work we do today. And I know he's going to do the same for you and is already doing it. That's how, you know, you ended up here on the radio. And we're going to, you know, get you into the school program to help kids to make great choices. If you look back on those days when you were a stockbroker on Wall Street making drug runs up to Harlem and then bringing them back down for these guys who are making, you know, a lot of money. I mean, what was running through your mind? I mean, what was the number one priority in those days?
The number one priority was I was self-centered and I was doing it all for a love of money. And I was making more money doing that than I was on the street. And I was making a lot of money on the street, you know, on Wall Street. I was making good money. You know, I was able to buy a nice house in a nice neighborhood, and drive two different cars, brand new, top of the line, trade them in every year, and I was just driven by money. My whole perspective on life was that the more stuff you had, the better you felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think like that today.
Right. And just a quick question about when you were in jail, you know, you had an encounter with God, and can you remember the day or the event that took place that, you know, allowed you to embrace the Lord?
Well, it's funny, Joe. I was having trouble sleeping in jail. It was a noisy environment. And I used to take this Bible and put it behind my head to raise my pillow up. So that I could sleep comfortably. And one day, out of the clear blue sky, this guy asked me to go to Bible study with him. And I said, you know, I ain't doing that. I might as well go. So I went in there, and I went to Bible study, and the whole message, the guy was looking at me and was telling my life story. I don't know this guy from a can of paint, but he was telling my life story and how God's going to use me. And he got a message, he got a purpose for me, and, you know, it was unbelievable. It was a revelation to me at the time. So I went back to the cell, and I thought about all the stuff he said. thought about all the things in my life, how I was with certain people, and it was three of us go in, Joe, and only one come out, and that's me. And the other two are dead, and I would be the only one that would come out alive.
Mm.
And I started thinking about all the stuff that happened in my life. And I said, maybe he's right. Maybe God got hurt.
Yep.
So I started praying, which I don't normally do. You know what I mean? I used to do Foxhole prayers when I was in trouble. But I earnestly prayed to God. And I believe he answered. To this day, I think he talked to me and said, I do have a purpose for you. You know, and I want you to change your life. Give your life to me, and I got a plan for you.
Yep.
And just be obedient, and that's what I've been doing.
Right. And that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, God says, you know, be careful. Moses says, be careful to stay focused on exactly what the Lord tells you to do, not to turn left or to the right, but to stay focused and do exactly what he says to do. And in the Wings program, we're always talking about lining up with what God says to do and what he says not to do, which is the commandments. And you're doing a tremendous job of moving in that direction. And you know, I'm so proud of you and for coming on the radio with us today and sharing, you know, your story. And I just know God's going to bless you for the rest of the day, the rest of the week, and really continuing on this path for the rest of your life, as that is his promise to those who are obedient, the blessings of obedience. So, Kev, we're coming up on half past the hour. I want to thank you for calling in with us today, and it's been a privilege and a pleasure. You're a personal friend of mine, and I will be calling you later on today, and we'll be talking about you know, some of the schools we're going to be going into together. But God bless you, and good luck in school. And, again, thanks for calling in, and we'll be talking to you soon.
I just want to publicly say, man, that I appreciate everything that you're doing in my life. I appreciate you being my mentor and, more importantly, my friend, being a person who I can talk to and a shoulder to cry on. And I just want to give public thanks you and everything you're doing, and God bless the Wings program.
Thank you very much, Kev. Have a great day, and I'm so happy you called in. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Kevin Williams, our first guest, and in the inmate reentry plan, the Wings program. Kevin really sharing his life story, and we appreciate him calling in today. We're half past the hour now, and we're on Holy Spirit Radio, WISP, at 1570 AM and 1420 AM, WCOJ, WISP. And my friends, thanks for listening in to us today. You're listening to Joe Montone, your host of Finding God in Prison. And we have our second guest on the line, I believe. Terrence, are you there?
Yes.
Terrence, good morning. How are you?
All right.
Thanks very much for calling in and spending time with us here at Holy Spirit Radio. It's a privilege to have you back with us. And ladies and gentlemen, Terrence has been in the program for at least 5 or 6 months. He actually is a graduate of the Wings program. And we first met inside the Philadelphia prison system. And Terrence, we appreciate you taking the time to call in today. If you can, take us back to the early days. Give us a little bit of a history of where you've been in your life in terms of your education and family life, and some of the things that took you into the House of Corrections, and then where you're at today and where you think you're going.
Well, when it comes to my early childhood, I was a teenager in the brown, you know, like a chicken with his head cut off, and is doing a lot of wild stuff that I shouldn't have been doing, you know, like with how you say, you know, what God says to do and not to do. And I was using drugs and, you know, not really progressing like I should, a lot of stagnating. And along with that, you know, it's like some good vocational stuff, such as music production, and I was no real progress out of it because of my drug use and like that. But, you know, as you get older, her and, you know, your program been a lot of help.
Excuse me, Terrence, you're a little broken up. Please speak directly into the phone so we get a good signal on you, okay?
All right.
And how old are you, by the way, Terrence?
I'm 28.
Okay. And, yeah, please continue.
Yeah, I'm 28. Yeah, I've been in and out of prison. I went to school for a while, ended up getting kicked out, you know, struggling with school, and then, you know, being manageable on the streets and everything like that, you know, because it's just kind of hard, you know, when you're trying to reintegrate back into society, and not a lot of people don't do that successfully. Like, you got to work at it hard, you know what I mean, to reintegrate into society successfully. And a lot of times I relapsed or, you know, got sidetracked with other different things, but now I'm trying to stay focused, you know, work on my art. I be drawing art. I drew a couple pictures of the Pope and Michelle Obama, and I'm trying to submit them to the art gallery. I've been talking to different people who own art galleries and online submissions and stuff like that. You know, I'm trying to focus on, you know, trying to get my art into, you know, some people's hands or whatever. But other than that, you know, when it comes to, like, family issues and stuff like that, I try to, you know, separate myself for now, you know, just to give us some, you know, me time. So, well, focus on myself a little bit and also get them some time to develop a little bit more so that we can, you know, develop into a good relationship. But until then, I'm trying to, you know, get my own life back in order or whatever, so therefore I won't become a burden to somebody or,
right,
you know.
Understood. Let me just jump in there. And how much time have you served in jail?
How much time I served in jail? Well, I've been in jail for multiple times altogether. It's from probably like 3 to 5 years.
Okay. And
maybe including the institution. So.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a challenge with drugs or alcohol at all?
Yeah, when I was young, I used to have issues with, like, you know, drinking and drugging. That was just, like, the thing to do when I came up and I was young. What in my area was, like, the thing to do every, you know, so.
Right. What was it that got you kicked out of school, high school?
After I got to, like, the 12th grade, like, I got kicked out of school for, like, disorderly conduct. Something simple. I was trying to get a pass to go to school. And it was just like a big miscommunication, and then the guys got in an argument with me, and the cops just took me to my school, and then they took me from my principal. And I'm trying to tell my principal I was trying to get a pass, but me and the septic guy got in an argument, and he didn't want to give me my pass, so, and I ended up kicked out. But after that, it was kind of hard to, you know, maintain, you know, the time manageability, being as young as I was, not knowing that, but, you know, to actually stay in school. But now, I'm headed on the right track and trying to get things done.
Right. Well, that's great. I know you completed the program, 50-hour program, inside the Philadelphia prison system. And then, you know, you came home and we met at the House of Adonai Recovery Home and also at the Drexel University on Saturday mornings. And you've been faithful to the program. You've been coming down for many weeks and several months and really being a man of your word. You've proven to communicate just about daily, sometimes twice a day. And as we move you forward, you've definitely done probably the best job of communicating with me out of any guy in the program. And you've been, you know, true to your word. You've shown up and you've been part of the program, participating in writing assignments as well as helping to prepare your resume, looking for work. And doing a great job. You've made the library your office. I remember 2 weeks ago you called me at about 8:50 from the library, and that's just a wonderful thing, because sometimes people are sleeping late, and sleeping half the day away. But you're out there trying to get things done and working on very important things, such as your driver's license and finding work and still working on your GED as well. So, you know, these are all important things. Now tell me, spiritually, how have you grown spiritually in your life? And in what way did you grow while you were in prison, if at all?
Well, I consider myself blessed, knowing the things that I did in my past and how I was living. Like, I can surely, you know, end up in jail for a long time, or, you know, end up dead somewhere, you know, but I consider myself blessed. And how I grew is, you know, I try to read my books as I can. I try to go to church. You know, when it comes to spirituality and being Christian, that's all it's about. It's about being progressive and growing. Know what I mean? It's about developing yourself. So that's what I try to do. I try to, you know, read a lot. I try to, you know, connect myself with good people and good programs and stuff like that. Other than that, I grew, you know, mentally, and I grew spiritually and physically a bit, because I try to work out every now and then.
Right.
Other than that, you know, I just try to stay around good Christian people and stay in church and stuff like that.
Okay. And that's wonderful. That's quite different than where you were when you were 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, correct?
Yeah. Very different. Yeah. When I was back in those days, I used to just, you know, I just go flow. But now I try to be more in control,
right,
and choose wisely.
Is it safe to say that you're more of a leader than a follower today, or more of a captain than a co-pilot?
Yeah, I'm more of a leader today.
Very good. Now, and I'm looking at one of your writing assignments, Terrence, while you were inside the PPS, and the question is, what is it that you want in your life? You know, because in the WINGS program, we try to motivate everyone to have vision for the future and to, you know, have hope again and to set some high goals and some short-term and long-term goals. But this is what you said in your writing assignment. This is what you want in your life. Number one, to help other people. You want to also, which is part of community service, and that's in the WINGS program in our list of priorities. You want to satisfy some of your personal needs. You want a long life. You would like good health. You want to be happy. You want a good family or happy family, a happy wife. You want good kids. You want a business, financial stability, some job opportunities. You want a good circle of influence of people around you. You want a home, a car. You want to be debt-free, have your taxes paid. You want to be drug-free. You want clothes, happy holidays, give away money to charities. You want a balanced life, knowledge and education, talents. You want to develop your talents and skills. Be a good parent. You want to be nutritionally stable. And these are some wonderful things. You want a good support group around you. You would like peace on earth, wealth, spirituality, to be a good Christian, and to have a good spirit and connection with God. So that's a powerful list right there. I got to tell you, it covers an amazing amount of things. And so, you know, for our listeners out there, Terrence and I are together twice a week. And he's in the WINGS program. We're at the 5031 Frankfurt at the recovery home, but we're also on Saturdays at Drexel University. And we're working on his progress. We're working on building him up spiritually, mentally, physically, educationally. And, you know, Terrence, you've done a good job, like I said earlier, of staying connected and doing what you are setting out to do 1 week at a time. So, you know, as I look at this graduation certificate in front of me, you know, we're now into March, and you graduated on the 7th day of January 2015, and almost 2 months have passed. And, you know, what progress do you feel that you've made, and what else do you need to do as we go forward into the spring?
Well, I think I made a lot of progress. This go around, I came out with a book. I got a book now. I'm working on it. I'm about to revise it. And I drew some nice good pictures. I drew quite a few pictures of Joe Montone. You know, I'm trying to get them framed and sent off to different galleries. I'm going, I'm putting in plenty applications and going on plenty interviews. You know, I'm just trying to work and trying to get those goals that you was talking about, you know, and build up to do on that list.
Right. How many applications have you filled out?
So there are so many of them, but right now.
Okay, we're
I'm just in the process of updating my resume. I was doing that before we hopped in a radio station, but yeah, I'm trying to update my resume a little bit more. Then I'm going right back into the applications, but I probably put in about like 40.
About 40 applications.
I had to turn down a lot of interviews because you know maybe because it wasn't the right time, or maybe because it wasn't there for my transportation. So I turned down like last week. I turned down like two of them. Because, you know, it just wasn't the week for me.
Okay. But you filled out quite a few applications, and it's getting easier to fill them out, and you're getting into that groove of finding work. And
yeah.
On top of that, you're working on, your recovery and other things that we do in the Wings program. Tell me, what was one of your most difficult challenges while in prison?
One of my most difficult challenges while in prison is trying to, just stay away from the negativity. It wasn't like a challenge because it was very easy to try to stay away from it, but not to indulge in it. Like, there's a lot of negativity goes on in there.
Right.
And try to separate myself from it. Like, that's why, when I was in there, I tried to stay in, positive places like, the Wings program and stuff like that. That way, I never had to be, even on top of that, I come back to the block and then, a lot of negative stuff happened because people know that you're about positive stuff. So some negative stuff come your way because of that. But it just never really bothered me too much. I tried to, stay away from it. That's just like a thing with life, period. You got to, separate yourself from the negativity because they just try to bring you down.
Right.
Either mentally-wise or spiritually-wise, it try to break you down. It's just a good thing.
Right. And, okay. When you were growing up, Terrence, can you speak a little bit about your mother or your family life?
My family life was A-okay. I used to draw. I was drawing ever since I was, 7 years old. I was drawing since then, and I went to different art after-school programs. I used to work at the Village Arts Humanities. I did a lot of paintings there. I actually went to the art museum while I was there. I submitted a couple works to the art museum. I did some art for my school at the Charter High School Architecture and Design. I did poetry jams at the Village of Art. I was kind of, a workaholic teenager.
Okay. How about...
I used to do a lot of work.
Right. And I know that you mentioned to me before that, your mom was in your life, but you really had no father. Correct?
No.
Right.
No.
So that was a great void growing up, I would imagine. Specifically, when you think about that, is it a sore spot for you today, or has God provided any healing in that area? Because for me, growing up without my dad, in a way, seeing him three times in 18 years due to my parents' divorce when I was three, those were tough years for me. And then later on, God helped to heal that wound for me. Is that the same for you? Do you find any, healing through, your relationship with the Lord and the Father?
I say in life, sometimes some people can have problems when it comes to, family issues or whatever. But what I do is, I just try to, stick to them a little bit where, I listen to, by reading my Bible and, developing my own stuff, by finding who I am and where I can go and stuff like that. But nowadays, a lot of people in society have problems with, family and stuff like that, whereas those can get really ugly, But with me, I just try to nip it in the bud and just, move on. You know what I mean? I don't think that, it was a real it probably was a little void there, you know, but like a little simple one. But, you know, now that I'm older and wiser now, it's like, you know, I know better, so I try to do better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If there's one message that you would bring to the school program for the young people who were age 13 to 18 in high school, what would your message be?
Well, my message would be is to educate themselves and try to strive for to be the best they can be, you know, on or off the court. You know what I mean? Because a lot of stuff, you know, nowadays is all about higher education. You know what I mean? Like when it comes to me with my school and education, I do a lot when I'm at programs, but it's like what I do when I'm outside the program. I'm still, you know, researching and educating myself. So that's what I would have to say, you know, because, you know, kids is the future. So it's for them to keep educating themselves and pushing on and then, you know, and avoid negativity and staying away from bad influences.
Right. Okay. Good stuff.
And making the best choices they can possibly to be where they want to be.
Right. And, you know, as you look back on your life, is there one decision in your life that stands out as being like a turning point for you in which you decide to, you know, stop what you're doing and to turn in a new direction that won't take you back to jail?
When I decided to pick up a Bible.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. For our listeners out there, you know, you're listening to Terrence Cradle. He's our second guest today after Kevin Williams, and this is Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone. I just want to let you know that this show will encore a second time today at 4 p.m., and so you'll have the pleasure of listening to us once again. And with the Holy Spirit Radio behind us and Kathy, Dale, and Jane, we really appreciate this opportunity. And we spent a lot of time, Terrence, together, both inside and outside. We're just getting started, but we have about 5 minutes left, and I'm going to be I want you to stay with me as we share a little bit of information from the class. If you recall, in session 10, we share with people some of the pro-life issues of abortion, partial birth abortion, same-sex marriage, embryonic stem cell research versus adult stem cell research. And do you remember that when I
mm-hmm.
brought in those pictures? Well, this is yesterday over at one of the facilities we had session 10, and this is what the results are. The question was, what did you think about today's class? And this is one of the answers from one of the guys. Today's class hit me right between the eyes because back in 2012, I had gotten two females pregnant. They both wanted to get an abortion, but I don't believe or like abortion. I was able to talk one of them out of it, and that's how my son was born. I never got to find out the gender of my other child. Another man wrote this: today's session touched me because I am against abortions. My wife told me that she had an abortion without my knowledge, and that hurt me. We now have a 3-year-old daughter. I think that she is very precious. Joe, I think you're a good man with a good mission. I want to be part of the mission. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Third guy writes in, today's presentation showed me how valuable life is and that time is very precious and short. To use our time in life wisely and productively. Another man wrote this: I feel like the topic of abortion that was discussed today was very important because I was about 21 years of age when I was going to have my first baby, and the woman that was going to have the baby wanted to have an abortion, but that was not what I wanted to do, and that hurt me on the next level. I never wanted to feel, because me or my family don't believe in abortion. So I feel that presentation today was great. What I got out of the information that was provided for me today from another gentleman was that to do what God says to do because he can open up doors that no man can shut. The best part about what I received today was I will never think about making a girl get an abortion again. If I get her pregnant, I will raise the baby because I'm following the word of God. And if you kill or murder, you are not obeying God's command. Another gentleman writes in, what did I get out of this session today? How to appreciate my son more and how to become a better father and stay out of jail so that I could spend more time with him. I am a single father, Joe, so your testimony touched my heart and taught me how to appreciate my son more. Thank you, Chris, for that. And the last guy is, he says, what I got out of the information today was that a lot of things are hidden, have hidden motives. I also learned that even if something doesn't play a part of your life, it doesn't affect you. It doesn't mean it isn't wrong for whatever reason, like abortions. And so I want to thank all the guys who wrote in today for that question. And Terrence, I want to thank you for calling in today. It's been a privilege and a pleasure having you with us. I want to make a quick announcement here for those listeners out there. The Poor Man's Supper at St. John Bosco's Church in Hatboro, Pennsylvania, originally scheduled for Thursday, March 5th, has been postponed until Thursday, March 12th due to the inclement weather. So, my friends, for those listening to us today, you're listening to Joe Montone. And, Terrence, I want to thank you. God bless you for calling in. We only have another 20 seconds, but I'm looking forward to working with you in the schools and having you back again some other time on the radio. I'll be calling you later on today. My friends, thanks for listening to Holy Spirit Radio and for tuning in to Finding God in Prison. We'll see you next time here at 1570 AM. God bless you and be with you. Have a great day. Take care now.
Morning sunrise. It's golden glow came creeping, lighting up the world as it lay sleeping.